Be'ezras Hashem Yisparech, today's daf is Kuf Ches in Masechet Shabbos. Oh, let's do the math, Chevra. I didn't do the math before we started. Kuf Ches is 107 and 63. Wow. It's the 170th daf in Shas, Be'ezras Hashem. We pick up Kuf Zayin on the Beis, the last four words on the Amud. The Gemara have been discussing the examples of where detaching something from its source might be similar to kotzer, like just detaching a animal with its fetus from the mother would be an iser, possibly of kotzer as well. So the Gemara gives us another couple examples. Amar Abayu, Haman the Tolish Pitra, a person that cuts off mushrooms, Meona the Chatzva, that was sitting attached on the edge of a pail, according to Rashi. Now here there's a tremendous chiddush. Even though the mushrooms aren't attached to the ground, nevertheless, the halacha is that it's an iser of tolish. By the way, this also has nafkaminas lahalacha in Hilchos Brachos as well, and that is that mushrooms, what bracha do they get? They're not bari pri adama, but they're shahakal. What's the reason they're shahakal? Because they really don't grow from the ground. Masav Rav Oshia, hatolish me'otzitz nakiv chayiv. If someone cuts from a flower pot with a hole, then it's chayiv, because we have many places in Gittin and in other places, we had it earlier in Sadi Heyomid Aleph, that a flower pot with a hole is considered attached to the ground. But if it does not have a hole, potter, then one is potter. So what's the Gemara's kasha? Rav Oshia's kasha is, wait a second, you said that toilish is even if it's not attached to the ground, we see you need to have a otzitznakov. Answers the Gemara, hasam lav hainu ribise, hacha hainu ribise. If it's a normal way for it to grow, like mushrooms that grows on the edge of the pail, so then in such a case, you're going to be chayiv. However, it's not normal for something to grow in a flower pot and not in the ground. For example, a tree you normally plant in the ground, not in a flower pot. Now, what the implications, it's a big chiddush over here that we're saying to plant something in a flower pot is not the normal way for it to grow. And maybe the Dovey's raising, it's a fair question. What would the halacha be if today it's normal? But the Gemara seems to assume lav hainu ribise. That will be one day maybe a halacha topic. Okay, let's pick up four lines into the top. Kuf ches amal chayev ov. We had seen in our Mishnah that one is going to be chayev for chovel when it comes to an animal that is a wild animal and a bird. The last line in the Mishnah, Kuf zayin amal alf, it says chayev ov shabushusay atzadim potter vachovel behen, he's going to be chayev. Now, what do we see from this? We see that an oaf falls into the category of some type of animal. Amar Rav Huna, kosvin tefillin al gabe or shel oftar. For that reason, one is allowed to write tefillin on the skin of a bird that is tar. Amar Rav Yosef, maika mashmalam, disleyar. What's the chidush? That it has... The chiddush over here is not just that it's considered an animal, but rather that we consider the skin of a bird as or. Tanina, we already learned that in our Mishnah. Hacholu b'hen chayiv. That if you're cholu, you're chayiv. Now, previously in the Gemara, Kuf Zayin on the base, the Gemara spells out that in order to be chayiv and chayvel, it needs to have it needs to have or. Amalei abaye tuva kamashon. No, there is a bigger chiddush of Huna was bringing out. And if it would just been from the Mishnah, Havamina, I would have thought came in the Isbe Nikvi Nikvi Lai. Now keep in mind, when it comes to the bird, the skin of the bird's skin has feathers that have been taken out. If the bird's skin has feathers that is taken out, so then the ink might fall in between those holes because you pluck out the feathers. Kimin the ispe nikvi nikvi, since the skin has holes, lo. Kamashal kidam barava, kol nekiv shadio verisalov eno nekiv. If the ink doesn't fall to the other side, but rather it just sits on top of that small hole, then that's not going to be a problem. What's that? Oh, so in animals, they don't have that same. Think about a cow. A cow is not plucked. That's what we generally use to write tefillin on. We don't pluck it out, so the skin doesn't have the same amount of holes like a bird. Masav Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera asks the following question. Torah Kedosha says, in regards to the korban olas ha'of, Bichnafav. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi explains that by the Olas Ha'ov, the Torah says that your Shiseya, you tear it open after you've killed it, Bichnafav, by its wings. Lahakshir Es Ha'or. To tell us that there's still skin. That the halacha is that you're allowed to be makriv it even when there's skin. And if you're going to say that the oaf is considered as one that has or heichimar bilekra, how would we see it from the pasuk? The raya is as follows: if we would say that an oaf has or, then you shouldn't be allowed to be makriv it with the or. Because when it comes to behema, it's aser to be makriv with the or. Elamai, the Torah is telling us bichnafav lahashir es or, that the or doesn't have a dinar. If it doesn't have a halacha of or, then how could you use it for tefillin? Heichimar bilekra. Amalei Abaye orhu v'rachmana ribye. No, Abaye says that is the gzeres hakasav. The gzeres hakasav is that I might have thought it's not considered or. It's not as thick as a cow. Kamash malam, we learn from kachim, in order to know the halachas of tefillin, you need to know kachim. That since we see that when it comes to kachim, it's considered or, so too over here, it's also considered or as well. Ikudami, the Gemara continues, or else I could say, Amar Abzei Rafanana mitinina bichnafav, lirabos esa or. That the pasuk bichnafav tells you that to include the or, that you're allowed to put the or in the mizbeah. Iyam Rabbi Shlema orhu. If you're going to say that it's considered halacha or and you can write tefillin on it, that's why we need the gzeres hakasav. Then why would we need the gzeres hakasav? Of course you'd be able to put it on. So that's why the gzeres hakasav is to say that even though it's or, nevertheless it's still going to be kosher, unlike a behemoth. Abaye says, no, it's not such a strong raya. Really, we would say that from a bird, it's not considered an or. The itzrich, and I still need the gzeres hakasav. Sakadai de chamina, I would have thought, kim de ispe pirtsi, pirtsi ma'us, since there are many holes on it, you shouldn't be allowed to put it on the mizbech, not because it's or, it's not or, but because there are lots of holes, it becomes ma'us for the mizbech, kamashmalan. And therefore, Abaye says, we can no longer bring a raya bichnafav for either direction. That the halacha that you put the or of the oath on a mizbeach will not tell us whether it's kosher l'tfilin or not. Boy, mine mar b'reid Ravina mer of Nachman. Mar the son of Ravina asked from Nachman bar Yitzchak. Mal lichtoiv tfilin al gabe or shel dog tar. Very fascinating shot. Ever heard of that? Someone writing tfilin on the skin of a fish. Amaleim yavo yelio v'yomar. If Elio comes and says it. In other words,
we don't know.
We're not sure. However, Rashi has a deeper pshat. Rashi learns in the Hemshech of the Gemara that there's something interesting going on over here. Let's continue on. Mayim yavo Eliyahu v'yomar. What does it mean, let Eliyahu come and say? Rashi learns that, what do you mean Eliyahu is going to answer the shaila? We have a rule, lo v'ashamayim hi, right? The famous Gemara in Bava Metzia that says that when one of the Tanoim said that the walls of the Beis Medrash attest to it, and the walls, the Machlokes of Reb Lezer and Reb Yoshua, and that the walls cave in, so we say lo b'ashamayim. So Rashi asks, what do you mean? That Rashi learns that the question is, what do you mean? You'll ask Elio on the side of my Gemara that I learned in Rav Shechter's Kolob. I then asked Rav Shechter, so how does this? What does this have to do with one of the things that we like to discuss often, and that is Teiku Tishbi Yitaretz Kushios va'abayis, but Elio is not going to answer it because it's lo b'shamayim. So it's a side discussion with them. And I saw the Hamasifka Gemara has many Mari Makomos in regards to that question. At the end, right?
Teiko doesn't mean that Elio knows he's going to come. Teiko means that we don't know.
But the Tishbi Yitaretz.
But you said
yourself. Something
but you
what? That someone made up.
You said yourself
that I didn't know of any Makar. I saw that they found the Makar.
Who's
the Makar? Right, we'll stop the recording for a second. It's the Chida that brings down this idea that Teiku stands for Tishbi Yitaretz Kushiyos V'Abayis, although it's quoted that Rav Yosef Engel asks that Lechura from our Gemara according to Rashi is Mashma not that way. So either way, the Gemara asks, Mayim Yovo Elio V'Yomar. Ilema the Islay Ar Idilas Layar. If Elio is going to tell us whether the dog has or does not have or hachazina dislayar. We see that the fish has skin. Va'od another kasha tnan atzamos hadog va'oro matzilim ba'ol ames, that we see that there is idea of the dog having or because it's matzil ba'ol ames, it's going to prevent the tumah from traveling. Ella im yavo al yov yomar ipaska zumine ilo paska zuama mine. But rather, what Eliyahu is going to tell us whether the zuama is an expression of tumah that exists, whether the tumah of the dag has stopped or has not stopped. In other words, we wouldn't use it for tefillin. The pshat that we gave about the tumah is going according to the shita miuchas l'ran that says that the question is not a question of mitzius of zuama. Because otherwise, chazina dislay ar, just like we saw chazina dislay ar, chazina dislay zuama. Shmuel the Karna have a yosvi aguda dinar malka. Shmuel and Karna were sitting on the river bank of Malka. Chazina lamaya de kadoli vakiri. They saw that the water was becoming very thick and murky. Amle Shmuel the Karna gava rabba kosim marava. So Shmuel said what was going on, why it was changed. He told Karna, there's a great man that's coming from Ma'arava, from Eretz Yisrael, v'chayish b'me'aha, and he has problems with his stomach. He has some type of difficulty going to the bathroom. V'kadolu mayelak bule. And in order to protect him from embarrassment, that when he needed to go to the bathroom often, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that the water be very thick, so no one would notice that he had gone to the bathroom. So he said to him, this is what Shmuel observed, and he said to Karna, Zil toile akankane, go and check out this special barrel. Now a barrel of wine is very, very chashuv. So that's what he means. Go speak to him and learn him. Azal ashkei the Rav. So he went, and he found that it was Rav. Amale, and Karna asked him, Minayin shein kosim tefillin al gabi or behema Torah? How do we know that he can only write tefillin on skin of a behema Torah? Amale, gichsiv l'mantiyah Torah Hashem beficha. This is this week's parsha. That's right. In Parsha's Bo, we learn that the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be in your mouth. And Chazal darshim min amutar beficha. This is a very important drasha. That which is mutar to your mouth, you could use for tefillin. By the way, this is not going to be entirely maskana of the Gemara. The halacha is min amutar beficha is halacha, that only from a kosher animal. However, what happens if the animal is treif, or the animal is an avela? We're going to have in the end of the Gemara, it's also acceptable. Yeah. But so min amutar beficha doesn't mean adasof. Minayin ladam shuhu adam. And then he started asking a stranger question. And how do we know that blood is red? Shenemar, as the Pasukim Malachim says, vayiru mov. Mineged esamayim adumim kidom, that Moav saw that the reddish water was like blood. Minayin lemila sheba osamakum. How do we know? The Torah never tells us exactly how to do mila on a young child. The Torah doesn't exactly tell us where and how a person is supposed to do a mila. Minayin lemila sheba osamakum. How do we know that's on the aver? Nemar kanar losa v'nemar lahalonar losa. Ma lahalon dover shasa pri. Just like when it comes to the Yisra of Arla, a totally different halach of Arla, that it's something that is shaykh that does, gives off peros. Afkan, dover shows the priest. Oh, too, this is something that causes peros, a child to be born. Ema libo, but maybe it means Arla, so means the heart. Dichsiv, as the pasuk says, umaltem is Arlas levavchem, that the Torah says that he's supposed to do the Arla on his heart. So I'm Zohar is sitting next to my 14-year-old son. And this was the drasha that at his bris, and he was a big neis, that we were zochet to umaltim to see as arlas levavchem. So says the Gemara. So the Gemara asked, maybe it means a heart. Umaltim as arlas levavchem. So the Menachem was mekayin that have amina. So the Gemara says, Eima ozno dichsiv hine orel arlo aznam. So and also, how do we know it doesn't mean the ear? Because it says, the Pasuk Yirmiyahu says, Klal Yisrael's ears are closed up, like Arelim, they're closed up. So Gemara answers, Donin Arloso Tama Me Arloso Tama. Ve'ein Donin Arloso Tama Me Arlo She'eino Tama. Those two are examples of things that are not considered complete. What does that mean, that's not considered complete? We learn from the full word of arlaso, as opposed to emaltem as arlas, doesn't say ayin reish lamin saf vav. Ve'ein donin arlas tama me arlas she'enetam. Amale. So Rav, after he's been quizzed by Karna, asks him, Mai shemecha? What is your name? As we're going to see, Rav wasn't happy by the questions that he was asking. He felt like he was giving him a bechina. And you don't go to a gadol b'Torah and give him a bechina. So he said, Karna. He said, my name is Karna. Amar leye, Rav ha-tebek le-karma be'ineha. He said, let the Karna go in your eye. The horn go into your eye. That does not, that hurts. L'sof aile Shmuel abese. In the end, Shmuel took Rav to his house. Ochle, remember, Rav had a stomach condition, right? So Ochle, he gave him to eat Nahama bread, the sari of barley. V'koise da harsana. Koise da harsana was a special dish, fish dish. V'ashke shichra, I gave him beer to drink. V'lo akvile beis hakise. And he didn't show him the bathroom. He like stopped him from going to the bathroom. In order that everything should mix together and then come out. And that Shmuel believed would be helpful for Rav's stomach. Layit Rav, va'amar manna mitzaren lo lo'luk mele b'ni b'chein havi. Now Shmuel was doing it for Rav's benefit. But Rav was in Tsar at the time. So he said, whoever is the cause for it shouldn't have children. And that was kachavit. We have the Gemara. We had earlier Bante de Shmuel. Who remembers where we had Bante de Shmuel?
Yeah.
We had it a while ago. That the daughters of Shmuel. So Shmuel had daughters. That Gemara is on Samachayim and Aleph. However, there it's Bante Davu de Shmuel, the daughters of the father of Shmuel. But there are instances as well that we speak about Bante de Shmuel that Shmuel did not have daughters. Now Rabbeinu Chananel and Kuf Ches on the base points out that the Gemara in Bava Kama in Meruba, according to our edition, Rabbeinu Chananel, it's by right before the wide lines on Kuf Chesam Abeis in the standard editions, quotes from the Gemara in Meruba that ultimately Rav forgave Shmuel when he found out about this, and they were mechabed each other. But nevertheless, that Kishkoga Hayotze Mipi Hashalit, what he had cursed Shmuel, Rav had cursed him, came true. Kitanoi. We learned the machlokas tonight. Minayin leMila, Shabosa Makom. How do we know Mila is on the Aver? Nemar Kan or Losa, and Nemar Lahalon or Losa. Malahalon Dover Shos a Pri, Avkan Dover Shos a Pri, Dirab Yeshu. Rabbi Nasan Omer, Enot Sarah, Harei Wama of Oral Zahar Shalom Yimos Musarlo. So, Makom Shinikar, Ben Zachos Lenakfuls. It's the area that differentiates between the male and the female. So, Rabbi Nasan's Mikar is for Oral Zahar. That it's connected to the Zachros. And since it's connected to the Zachros, then the Mila is done over there. Last narrow line. Tanu Rabbanan, Kosvin Tfilin Agabe Or Behema Torah. You write Tfilin on the hide of a pure animal. Valgabe Or Chaya Tahora, as well as a Chaya that is Tor. Valgabe Or Nevelos Utrefo Shelahem. This is the Chiddush that I mentioned to you before, that it could be written as well on the Nevela and the Tref of a kosher animal. V'nichrachos b'sa'aron, it's not just Stam Aminig. If you open up in your tefillin, you will see that the parshios are tied together on the seir, the hairs of a behema tahora. That's a halacha. It's a halacha in the Gemara. V'nisparos begidin, and the batim. V'nisparos begidin, and the batim are sewn together with the gid, with the sinews. V'halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and this is halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Hatfilin nichrachos b'sa'aron, that the tefillin are tied together with the sar. V'nisparos begitin, and that they're tied with the sinews. Avol ein kaisvin loyal gabe or behema tmeya, v'loyal gabe or chaya tmeya. But you can't write on the hide of an animal that's tamei, not on the hide of a wild animal that's tamei. V'ein tzarich lomar gabe or nevelu trefa shelahen. And certainly, if it's a nevelu trefa, you can't use it. Vein nechrachim nisari, you can't use their hairs. Vein nesvars begini, you can't use their sinews. V'zu she'elo shol b'susi echad. Of course, we know that b'susim were people that attacked the Mesorah of the Tanoim. And this is one of the questions that one b'susi asked as Rabbi Yeshua HaGrisi. He asked him, minayin she'en kosan tefillin al or behema tmeya. How do we know that you're not allowed to write tefillin on the hide of an animal that's tamei? Tichsiv, because it says, Matiya Torah Hashem b'ficha, midavra mutar b'ficha. that it has to be mutter b'fichas. So by susi had a great kasha elamiyato. But if that's so, al gabe arnevel sutreifus al yichtevu. So you should be able to write. It's not min mutter b'fichas. Amalei em shalachom mashal. So Rabbi Shua Garsi had a brilliant teretz. Lema adaver domer l'shnei bnei adam. It's like two people. Shneischaybo ariga l'malchus. That they both had to be put to death. Echad hargu melech. One the melech himself killed. Ve'echad hargu as plitor. The sar hatabachim. In other words, his second in command, the executor. Ezumei mishubach. Which is the one that's greater? Havi omer zeshu hargu melech. The one who's killed by the melech, he's more chashuv. Elamiyata yochlu. Oh, so now, so who killed it? The animal. Not a shochet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So it's a kosher animal that was killed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's even more chashuv. You still can't eat it. Ask the Mara, El Me'ata Yoichlu, but you should be able to eat it. The Torah says, it's a gzeres hakosav, ein hachanami. In terms of logic, it should have even been a better thing to eat. It's interesting. We never thought of it that way. A treifa as well. Treifa means that the animal... Right, but it's going to die. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it, that's for sure going to die. Amalei Kolos, he said, Meshubach Tamzeh, it's a great svara, and he accepted, the Baisus accepted that argument. Our mission is going to discuss a new set of halachos, and that is the halachos of making food with salt on Shabbos. Rashi explains, let's jump ahead, in Rashi, in the second wide line of Kuf Ches on the base, that the problem of adding salt to food is you make the salt, the food better. Mipnei, Rashi writes in the second line, halfway through, not Bishul, you're right, there is an idea of Kovosh Kumavushul, but that's not what we're discussing over here. Rashi in the second wide line, second from the top of Kuf Chaf Amabez, Kuf Ches Amabez, excuse me, says, Mipnei Shum Kima Abed Mesake Nes Ochel, Hanas Nesach Nideshi Yiskayim. You all know that if you add salt, the food is more likely to last. Now, what is that Isser Menachem asks? That's an excellent question. Presumably, the Isser is an Isser Maka Bepatish Midrabonim. So, for that reason, the Mishnah says, Ein Osin Hilmi B'Shabbos. You're not allowed to make this mixture of salt called Hilmi in Sha'on Shabbos. Avalosu was May Melech. But you're allowed to make water with salt, the Tolgaba and Pito, and you're allowed to put your bread inside, Vinosin and the Tolkatashil, and you're allowed to put inside of food to make it more salty. Amar Rabbi Yaisi says, what's the difference between Mei Melach and Hilmi? Valohu Hilmi. Bein Meruva, Bein Ubein Muat. Ask Rabbi Yaisi, what's the difference between the two? If Hilmi is Aser, then it should be Aser whether there's a lot of salt or a little bit of salt. Why is it that you differentiate between Hilmi and Mei Melach? To which the Gemara now responds, the Mishnah responds, and the Gemara is going to flesh out what the Mishnah's response is. Ve'elu hein mei melach hamutarin. Now this is the mei melach that's mutter. No sein shemen l'chatchila toch hamayim ol toch hamelach. You're allowed to put oil inside of water or inside of salt. The Mishnah now answers Rabbi Yossi's kasha, and that is, as Rashi explains in Dibra Maskel, ve'elu hein mutarin, that it depends. If you're putting in, as the Mishnah concludes, the shemen lechatchila letoch hamayim, that if you put in the oil into the water first and then put the salt in, then it's going to be permissible. Or Rashi explains, you put the oil inside the salt and then you put the water in, then it's going to be permissible. Because in such a case, Rashi explains, the shemen holds back the salt from mixing very well. Dovi asked that what is Hilmi? So presumably Rashi says that what Hilmi is when you add the salt first into the water. Says the Gemara, Maika Amar, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel Hachi Kamar, Ein Oisim Mei Melach Merubin, Aval Oso Mei Melach Mu'utin. So the Gemara explains that the chiluk between the two here is, at least in the initial stages of the Mishnah, the difference between Mei Melach and, this is the way Rashi learns in the initial stage of the Gemara, is that Hilmi is also because it's Mei Melach Merubin, and Mei Melach Mu'atin is going to be acceptable. To which Rabbi Yossi responded, Am Rabbi Yossi v'alo hu Hilmi bein Merubin mei Mu'atin. What's the difference? If it's salt, then it's going to be hilmi either way. Now, of course, we answered, as we were masber in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi's question. However, the Gemara says you can understand Rabbi Yossi in two different ways. Iboilu, Rabbi Yossi lesser or lahatir? Is Rabbi Yossi coming to be oser or is coming to be matir? Rashi explains that Rabbi Yossi says there's no difference between hilmi and melech. So this, what's Rabbi Yossi saying? You can understand him in 2 days. Either he's coming to say hilmi is also mutter, or he's saying that melech should also be oser. Which way is he saying it? Rav Yehuda lahatir. Rav Yehuda says that it's going to be lahatir. Midelo katani Rav Yossi oser. Because it doesn't say Rav Yossi oser, that would seem to indicate that he's coming to be matir. Amalei Rabba, hamidiktani seifa. But what about the seifa? Ve'elu hein mei melech mutarin. But we come back to Rav Yossi and we say these are the mei melech that are mutar. Rav Yossi seemed to aser, but he says elu hein mei melech mutarin that are their mutar mechlal. Rav Yossi lesa, which is mashar. Rav Yossi is coming to be oser. Elam Rabba. Therefore, Rabba changes pshat in the Gemara. Lesser. That really Rav Yossi is lesser. V'chein Amar Rabbi Yochanan lesser. So to said Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Yossi meant to aser. Tanya nami hachi ein osim mei melech merubin lasei satoch ha kvashin shebesoch gistera. Aval also hu mei melech muatin v'ochel behen pito v'nosein l'soch hatavshin. We learned in a brisa that the halacha is that you're not allowed to put a lot of mei melech into vegetables to preserve them in a dish called a gistera, but you're allowed to put in a little bit of salt. Now Rabbi Yossi disagrees, and this is going to be a raya that Rabbi Yossi is lesser. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Mipnei shalom muratim halalu muatim, halalu asurim halalu mutarim. Just because there's a little bit of salt, does that all of a sudden make it mutar? No. Yomru malacha meruba asurim malacha muatim mutaris. If somebody writes a whole letter, then he's going to be chayiv. And if he writes only two letters, he's not. We learned already, of course, that as long as you write two letters, you're going to be chayiv. So too here. You were making ma'abe tikun ochlin. So you should be chayiv. Ela elu ve'elu asurne. Rather, both are asur. Ve'elu hei mei melech hamutarin. And when did Rabbi Yossi say it's mutar? If you do it in the backwards order. So ultimately, the Gemara learns, ve'elu hei mei melech hamutarin is Rabbi Yossi giving his exception to the rule. Rabbi Yossi says Merubin and Muatan are going to be Aser. However, if you're nosing Sheman Umelach before you put in the Mayim, so as Rashi explains on the Mishnah, it prevents the Melach from spreading out, and then it doesn't do the same job of Ma'abed. So nosing Shem Melach or Sheman Umayim Bilvad, Ubilvad Shalite Mayim Melach Lechatli. You can't put in the Mayim and the Melach first. Tani, the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva, Ein Osim Mei Melach Azim. You can't make strong mei melech. Asks the Gemara, my mei melech azim, what does it mean strong salt water? Rabbi Rav Yosef bar Abba, Darmi Tavayu, what's the definition? Kol sha'beitza tzafa behen. If you'll notice, if you put a lot of salt into something, that causes the material to rise to the top. Of course, these young budding Talmid Chacham Rav Beit Shemesh have visited the Yam HaMelech, right? And so there, if you drop something in, it goes to the top. What's that? Even right, someone as heavy as me goes in. The kamas and how much? Amar Abaye trei tilsi melech v'tilsa mayim. The way in which it will cause everything to rise if you have 2/3 of salt and 1/3 of water. Lemay avdi. It's a printing mistake in my Gemara. It's lemay avdi la. The printer, the old Vilna printing, ran the hay towards the top to the ches. Lemay avdi la. What is the purpose of when you put in 2/3 salt? Amar Rabbi Avvo limuraisa for muraisa. Muraisa was a type of dish that we are familiar with of fish, which was full of salt. Tan Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva e mochlin snon ubeitza b'shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva said you're not allowed to salt a onion and a egg on Shabbos. Rav Chizkiya Mishmei D'Abaye Omer. Rav Chizkiya says the name of Abaye. Snown, an onion is aser, ubeitza muteres, but an egg is going to be permissible. So Abaye differentiates between an onion and an egg. Rashi doesn't really explain what the difference between the Tznon and the Beitza is. I saw a quote in the name of the Magen Avraham that the Magen Avraham says that the egg doesn't change as much, is not as preserved as much as the onion due to the salt, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Amar Nachman, Reish Havim Malachna Pugla. I used to salt a pugla. Pugla is another type of onion that grew from the ground. What's confusing over here is that the Gemara uses tznon and pugla as different words, even though at times they mean the same thing. Amina, I thought, afsudei kamafsinna. The reason why it's permissible is because adding salt is not helpful, that it makes it last longer, and therefore it's not considered ma'abed ba'ochlin. However, da'amar Shmuel, pugla, churfi mali. The reason I thought this is because Shmuel said that the pugla is very, very sharp, and the salt, Rashi explains, dulls the sharpness. Kiva the Shamina Lahadhi Asa Ula Ma'amir Marava Malchi Kishure Kishri Mimlach Lomalachna Tivule Vadai Matbilna. I heard that in Marava in Eretz Yisrael they do salt these things. They salt piles of tznon. So that's what it means, Malchi Kishre Kishri. So then the halacha is that you're not allowed to salt them, but you could dip them into salt water. Tanur Rabbi Yehuda bar Chabiba, Esrog, Tznon, Ubeitza. When it comes to both, very different types of foods. An Esrog, a radish, or sometimes described by Chazal as an onion, Ubeitza, and an egg. Ilema kliposan achitzona, ein. Excuse me? Ilmale, excuse me. If not for their outside shell, klipas and achitzona, enin yotzes me'ayim la'olam, the body would not be able to digest it. Now, when we're talking about the egg, we're not talking about the hard shell. No one's advocating to eat the hard shell. But the Mefarshim say we're talking about the white of the egg. The person should not only eat the yellow, the body would not have an easy time digesting it, as well as the peel of the tznon, as well as the estro. Now that we've spoken about salt water, so we begin to speak about the Dead Sea. No one ever drowned in the Dead Sea. Amar Rav Yosef, hafucha sdom vahafucha mila. Stone was turned upside down, and you should turn your words upside down. Gavra hu de lo tava. A person doesn't drown. Kshura tava. And a beam does drown? In other words, you should have said, not only does a person not drown, even a beam doesn't drown inside. That when it comes to the beam, it doesn't drown all the waters of the world. A person can constantly drown in other places. The Mai Nafkamina, what's a Nafkamina? Like the case of Rav, he was going behind Rabbi Yirmiyah. Aguda the Yamadistom, on the edge of the Dead Sea. Amale Mahu Limimshi Mehani Maya Bishabis. What would the halacha be? Is a person allowed to literally feel? But here Rashi explains it means to go in to Yamamelch. This is a very, very interesting question. A person goes to vacation on to the Dead Sea. Are they allowed to go sit in it on Shabbos? Take a look at Rashi, what the Shaila is. Says Rashi, Ma'u l'mimshim mehani maya, garsina, mi asa mishum refua, is it asa alts refua, the gaz rabban v'chalv v'os b'shabbis, mishum shchikas samimonim, because you might come to grind medication, ve'elu merapo says ayin. Now this Rashi had a hard time understanding, but Rashi claims, we know that the Yama Melech is very... Is very good, very therapeutic. However, Rashi learns that's therapeutic for the eyes. That's the rule of thumb is we always don't want to get our eyes into the water. But it seems that Rashi understood that it was the exact opposite. The Mefarshim do discuss how it could be that it's good for the eyes. Either way, clearly going into the Yam HaMelech could be refuah. Amalei Shapir Dami. He said it's mutter. Wow. Ma'u lememitz ulemiftach. Now he asks, what about taking the water and putting it directly into your eye? Amalei zulo shamati. I didn't hear an answer to this shayla. Kayotze ba shamati. I heard an answer to a similar shayla. Damar Rav Zari Zimin Amalei Mishmei Rav Masna. Because Rav Zeira sometimes quoted the name of Rav Masna, Zibn Amar Lav Mishmei Marukvan, sometimes in the name of Marukvan, Tarvayu Mishmei Davuad Shmuel, Vilevi, that they quoted, he quoted in the name of Avuad Shmuel and Levi. Amrin Chad that once said, Yayin Beselcha Ayin Asur, to put wine, which also was thought to have a remedial effect on the eye, that's going to be Asur. Al Gav Ayin Mutter, but top of the eye is permissible. L'chad Omer, and one said, Rok Tapel. Rashi explains that Rok, of course, means spit. Tapel from Lashon Mapil Chevle Sheina, someone who went to sleep, that he hasn't eaten anything and he just woke up. There it was thought that that was remedial. Afilo Agavayin Aser. It's going to be Aser. Tistayim, let us prove that Avur Deshmul Huda Omer Yayin Besolcha Ayin Aser. That wine inside the eye is going to be Aser. Agavayin Mutter, but on top of the eye is going to be permissible. But the Omer Shmuel, Shor Adam Piso Bayayin. Because we learned that Shmuel was the one who said that you're allowed to soak your bread in wine. Vinosnal Gabi Ayin Bishabis. And you're allowed to put it on top of the eye. So Gemara is Vidaik. The Shmuelay Man. Who did they hear this from? Lav de Shmuel me'avua. It must be that they heard it from his father, that Shmuel was quoting from his father. V'litamech asks the Gemara, Hodam or Shmuel rok tapel afil gabe ayin osar, shamalei me'man. Who did he hear that from? Ilema de Shmuel me'avua. Are you going to say that he heard that also from his father? The Gemara is asking like this. At the end of the day, if in both cases we're going to say that both things Shmuel heard from his father, then that's both shitas that we had. One was discussing Rok Tapel, and the other was talking about Yayin Besolcha Ayin. Couldn't be that both shitas are of Shmuel. One of them is of Levi's, and the other is of Shmuel. Ela must be that the halacha that we had seen is in regards to Yayin Besolcha Ayin, also Al Gavayin Mutter is talking according to Levi. Lo Chada Amar. And he did not say it. One of those cases, Shmuel had heard it from his father. One of the two cases, either the Rok or the Yayin. And the other he heard from Levi. We don't know which one he heard from his father and which one he heard from Levi. Amar Mar Ukva, Shmuel Shor Adam Kilorom Meir of Shabbos. A person is allowed to soak a ointment that was called Kilarion. It is a ointment that is used on the eye of a sick person. And he's allowed to put it on his eye on Shabbos, and he doesn't need to worry. The Gemara repeats that opening and closing one's eye and dropping a remedy in would clearly not be acceptable. Bar Levoy Havikoi came into Mar Ukva. Bar Levoy came in front of Mar Ukva. Chazia, he saw that Bar Levoy was doing this, that he was Davin Mayitz Uposach, that he was opening and is closing his eye to allow the medicine to go in. Amalei Kulei Haivadi Lo Shari. That would certainly be prohibited. Mar Shmuel Shachle Rabbi Yani Le Mar Ukva. Mar Shmuel sent Rabbi Yana to Mar Ukva, Lishtar Lon, Mar Mehanach Kilorin, to Mar Shmuel. To get the Kilorin, this ointment from Mar Shmuel. Shalachlei, Mar Ukva sent back, Shadurei Mishar Nilach, I'm going to send you the ointment, to Lo Tema, that you shouldn't say, Tsar Ayinana, that I am someone who's stingy, that doesn't give a lot. Ela, the Hachi Amar Shmuel, but you should know that Shmuel taught Tova Tipas Tzone, that you should know that a little bit of cold water is good. Shachris in the morning, Mechitzas Yadayim Raglayim Becham and Arvis Mikol Kilarin Sheba Olam, and the ointment is not necessary. Tanina Mihachi Amar Rabbi Mona Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Tova Tipas Tzone Shachris Mechitzas Yadayim Raglayim Arvis Mikol Kilarin Sheba Olam, that this is the best type of ointment and the best type of treatment. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes the Pshat in Gemara Rashi from our daf, and we now go on to the halacha topic. Be'ezer Hashem Yisparach, our halacha topic from daf Kuf Ches emerges from the Mishnah on the top of Kuf Ches on the Be'ez, and that is the prohibition of salting vegetables on Shabbos. Rashi, as we emphasized in the daf shir, two lines into the Amud spells out that our Mishnah is concerned that if a person adds salt, then it appears as if he is preserving the food. And therefore, according to Rashi, any time it appears, even if one is not actually preserving the food, but it already appears as if one is, then it is going to be a problem. This is something that many people are not aware of, that sprinkling salt, theoretically, might be a problem on Shabbos if one sprinkles onto vegetables. Let's see how this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, and also bear out the differences between Rashi and the Rambam, and then give some practical examples. Shin Chof Aleph Siv Gimel, we have this halacha. Asur l'mloach hatichas tznon. It's prohibited to salt pieces of radish. Dalid ohei biyachad b'pnei shenira kikovesh. Kvashim. The Mishnah Berurah, when I learned this with Rav Nevin Sal, he also emphasized, point out that over here the prohibition is not only if you actually preserve the item, but if it appears as if you're preserving the item, then it is going to be a problem. So sprinkling salt on four or five types of radishes is a problem. The Mishnah Berurah is medayik in Sif Katan Yudalid, that it's only if it appears that you're going to preserve the foods, particularly according to the opinion of Rashi, that we saw that the prohibition over here is ibud ochlin, that it looks as if you're preserving the food, which according to most Rishonim is iser derabbanan of makeh bepatish. However, if it doesn't appear that way, says the Mishnah Berurah, if you're sprinkling salt on one radish to add taste, so then in such a case, writes the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkatni Daldi, Kishakol Chaticha Munachas Levada, Ein Bazem Mishum Kovish Kivashim, Vigam Lo Mechzi Kima'abed, then it doesn't appear like Ma'abed. So, first of all, the first exception to this rule is if you do it one at a time, then it is going to be permissible. Now, notice the Lashon of the Mishnah Berurah, that it's not a problem of Ma'abed as well as Kovish Kivashim. What does he mean that's also not a problem of Kovish Kavashim? If you look back in the Mechaber raises a totally different issue that we didn't raise in the Daf at all, because it doesn't appear in the Daf. And that is the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam holds that our Mishnah is prohibited. The Rambam Perichov Beis writes that the reason why it's prohibited to salt is because of the rule that is famous in Yoredeya, and that is the rule of Kavush Kimavushal. That if a person soaks, and for that matter salts, for 24 hours, then it appears as if it does, that one is doing bishul. Or, in another way of saying it, rabbinically, the power of salting and soaking is a rabbinic form of bishul. Taste is also transferred as well. If that's so, according to Rambam, there's a different prohibition here. What we're discussing is a prohibition of bishul midrabbanan and not ma'amed. For this reason, Rav Nevinsal pointed out to me that we have a nafgamina between the Rambam and Rashi. And that is, according to the Rambam, even if it's one cucumber, if he leaves it for an extended period of time that will cause the preserve to take place, then he did bishul midrabbanan. We don't care what it looks like, only according to Rashi, who says that the problem is that it's nira, that will make a difference. However, according to the Rambam, if at the end of the day it reaches the status of meluach kimavushal, kavush kimavushal, then that would be a problem as well. However, the reason why, bottom line, it is permissible to salt the vegetable is because, at the end of the day, it doesn't stay long enough for kavush kimavushal, and at the end of the day, it doesn't look as if one is being ma'abed. It is interesting if one looks in the Taz, who also says this prohibition, whether the Taz is only saying it according to Rambam, or possibly even according to Rashi. But when I heard it from Rav Nevinsal, he mentioned particularly Bidas HaRambam. Either way, this is one of the Isurim that one has to be aware of, and the big heter to do it one by one. There are, however, many shailas that emerge in making a salad that people are not aware of that follow then from this halacha. As we mentioned, of course, cucumbers are very, very common to be preserved. That is what ultimately turns into pickles. What would the halacha be about salting one cucumber is fine. But what happens if you're salting a salad, and in the salad you have cucumbers and other vegetables? What type of heter then would you have for adding salt into the salad? In fact, we do this every Shabbos in the Eisenstein house. What would be the permissibility of it? There are three answers to this question. Number one, in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa Perik Yud Aleph Ha'ar Avav, in the name of Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, we continue with our Mesorah. Reb Shlomo Zalman emphasized that this Isser applies for those fruits and vegetables, more particularly, that are normally preserved in their status of being whole. We don't find, although it is more common in the States, to have pickles that are cut up into small pieces that are preserved. So Reb Shlomo Zalman suggests, number one, that the Isser does not apply, let's say he talks about tomatoes that are not preserved when they're in small pieces. So then in such a case, he says there would not be a problem, particularly because generally they are preserved in vinegar as well. And for that reason, he says, because they're not whole, it's not going to be a problem. So number one, one could argue that for the cucumbers, although it's a little bit weak because the great pickle companies do pickle cut cucumbers as well. Number two, the other reason it could very well be that it is permissible is because the majority of the vegetables in the salad, the lettuce and others, are not normally kovush umaluach, and therefore his intention is not to salt and preserve the cucumbers, and the halacha would be that it would be permissible. That's, of course, provided, according to Rambam, that it doesn't reach the state of maluach kimavushal. And finally, my wife overheard us discussing this halacha. She pointed out the last svara that I had intended to mention, which actually comes from the Gemara itself. And she said that as a child, she was taught our Gemara. And that is that our Gemara, 10 lines in, says, Elu ve'elu asurin, that the halacha is that we have a problem of mei melach, whether there's a lot or a little. However, that's only if you put in the salt first. However, if you put in oil first, then it dampens the power of the salt. In our salad on Shabbos, we always have oil. And my wife as a child was taught that one should put the oil in first, and that would be a fantastic svara to be makel. It's a Beferish Gemara that we learned, as well as it's quoted in the Mishnah Berurah. In Sif Katan Yud, Yesh Mekilim Bazeh. He's not talking about a case where you have a whole salad where we had other reasons to be Mako, but Yesh Mekilim Bazeh Mishum Shashemin Machlish Eskoach HaMelach Milos Eiz Ve'ein Olav Shein Mei Melach. In such a case, it doesn't have the status of Mei Melach. This point that my wife made as I was passing by and discussing this, it reminds me of the line that I always heard from my mother, and it's something that if we're zoche to have a Masorah from Gedolei Torah, that is the Ikar, but there's no question that there is a beautiful Masorah from the Holy Mothers of Klal Yisrael as well, and I repeat what my mother, may she be well, always said, and that is that she tries to retain everything that she had learned from her mother. So either from the Masorah of the mothers or the Masorahs of the fantastic education that many Jewish girls have gotten today, they passed on this third svara of the Gemara, that by adding oil beforehand, it weakens the power of the salt, and it's a Beferish Gemara that says that would be permissible. This Bezer Hashem concludes the Halacha topic.